This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Greetings once again, Cougar Nation. We welcome you back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building here in Provo. It's our season finale of the Coordinator's Corner. It's our weekly BYU football chat with the Cougars coordinating coaches. And in our final week this week, as we do in our season debut, we visit with all three coordinators. Meeting today, we'll be chatting with special teams coach Kelly Papinga, defensive coordinator Jay Hill, and offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. Coming up on today's broadcast, we will look back at Saturday's setback in the Valley of the Sun. 28-23 ASU wins it. It sets up a regular season finale against Houston for BYU. Cougs need a win, the BYU Cougs, and some help to get to the Big 12 title game in Arlington. Let's break it all down with BYU special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga. Coach Kelly, good to see you again.
Great to be back, like always.
Yes.
Good to see you.
The Kansas loss the week before was kind of a reset of sorts. It felt like, okay, that one out of the way. And how did you feel about the week of practice leading up to Arizona State after that one?
We felt like our practice was way better than a week before. You know, I think the week of the Kansas game, we were riding those emotions of that Utah win and, you know, just getting over that. You know, that's one of the biggest challenges when you have a big emotional win is getting the guys down, back down, you know, from just that high level of emotion that they experience and get them focused, refocused back on. And I don't think that really happened probably until Wednesday of the Kansas game. And then this week, the guys came in immediately on Monday, and our walkthrough on Monday was way better. Our Tuesday practice was probably as good as Tuesday practice we had. And then just, you know, went that same way Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I thought our guys mentally were way better than they were the week prior. We just came up a few plays short and, you know, could have played way better in the first half to have a better outcome.
Did you feel like, because we heard from a player or two maybe that the word flat got mentioned to open the ASU game, did you sense it coming into the game?
I didn't sense it at all. I didn't sense that they were going to be flat or, they looked.
Do you think you guys were?
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, I thought we started, for defense specifically, I thought we started flat 2 weeks in a row, the first drive of the Kansas game and then that first half. And, you know, I don't know where to pinpoint any of that, you know, exactly. You know, as coaches, we're trying to figure all that out. Mm-hmm. And with players, a lot of the time, it just comes down to them making sure they got to get themselves ready as well, right? There's only so much a coach can do to try to help somebody get ready. And then the leadership of the team, you know, has to take it from there. And I don't, you know, I didn't sense that at all going to the game that we were going to play flat. The guys were excited. They knew everything that was on the line. They knew if we won this game, we were in the driver's seat to play in the Big 12 championship game. And so they knew everything that was on the line. And then, Arizona State came out and they, you know, you got to give them credit. They executed well in the first half. They played physical. And then, you know, we woke up in the second half and we played, you know, better defense and I think way better as a team in general. And so just unfortunate we just didn't play like that in the first 30 minutes.
Let's get your perspective on a few points in the game. The offense got the ball first. Opening drive gets to a 4th and 5 at the ASU 46. Too far away for a field goal. Options here are punt and pin or go for it. How much give and take is going on the headset from an OC to a special teams coach to a head coach on what to do on that first 4th and 5?
Yeah, we're just, you know, I'm listening to A-Rod. They have some stuff that they follow that just gives them the idea of what the percentages say that we need to go for it or not. And we were in that number that we felt we needed to go for it. You know, being on the road, being in that situation. And, you know, they felt like they had a good play. And Arizona State dialed up a nice blitz right there. I always go back and watch the offense just to see if there's things that defenses are doing. And mm-hmm. So I watched this last night, and I thought it was a really good blitz design by them. They, you know, I think they were playing a version of cover two with some pressure, and I think it just caught Jake off guard. And, you know, we don't convert, and then the defense has to come out. And that's really the story of any defensive player. Their mindset is it doesn't matter where the ball is at. We got to come out with the right mindset. It doesn't matter if the ball is on the one-yard line, and they're going, they have to go 99 yards, or like we did in the SMU game, we had multiple times in the red zone where our backs were against the wall, and we stood up to that, and we made plays. And so, really, that situation, yeah, you could say that was bad field position for the defense, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where the ball's placed. We got to come out there. We got to execute. We got to do our job. And if we do that in that first drive right there, I think we're going to be just fine. But we don't execute well as a defense in that first drive, and they're able to go down and score.
Yeah, it was a 54-yard field. They went 10 plays, 7 Cam Scataboo rushes on that drive. He ends up with more rushing yards than any other back BYU's seen this year, and BYU's seen some good ones in the Big 12.
Yeah, you got to give him credit. He runs hard. He has low center of gravity. you know, does a great job of catching the ball out of the backfield as well, which he didn't do much in this game. But as far as a runner goes, he's just hard. He's hard to bring down, you know, and our guys knew that going into the game, we were going to have to tackle him well, and we were going to have to gang tackle him. And, you know, unfortunately for us, we didn't do that until the second half. And in the second half, you know, he rushes, I think they had 42 yards as a team in the second half on 21 carries. Yeah. And that's what the whole game should have been like if we did the job, you know, our job the way we were supposed to.
The next two drives in this game both ended in picks, one for each team. BYU's defense now has recorded interceptions in all 11 games this season. Tanner Wall got his third INT of the season. BYU didn't move the ball, but it was a unique game that BYU punted only once.
Yeah.
And by the way, the one punt was a great punt and pin.
Yeah.
Early in the second quarter, you downed the ball at the ASU 5-yard line.
Yeah, and, you know, I always tell our guys there's we have 30 opportunities. On average, most games, there's 30 opportunities to play special teams. Mm. This game, there came down to 17 plays on special teams, the lowest by far we've had all year. I think there was one other game where we had 22. It was the next lowest. But Sam taking advantage of his opportunity, his one opportunity he got in the game. We pinned the ball inside the 5-yard line. This has been an emphasis because we had been pretty good at this at the earlier part of the season. Our pin situation is what we call this when the ball is 50 and in. And we hadn't executed great in the last couple weeks and it had been an emphasis in practice. And Sam goes out there, hits a great ball. Evan Johnson goes down there, makes a great play. You saw Cody Hagan on the other side coming down there, tracking the ball, and everybody else is going to the returner. So it's great to execute that, you know, get the defense 95 yards to defend, but you know, once again, we just don't go out there and do what we're supposed to do as a defense, and unfortunate with that type of field position. I thought we could have flipped it, you know, get a 3-and-out right there. That's what you want when the ball's inside the 5 or 10. You get a 3-and-out, they have to now pump back to us, and now that field position battle's being won by us. But unfortunately, the defense didn't step up in that occasion.
Yeah, sadly, ASU did go 95 for the score. It's 14-0. Then comes the turning point of the first half, at least, the squib kick recovered by the Sun Devils. Your take on this one?
Yeah, that was a tough one because Arizona State last season, they did that against somebody else. And we had the clip. We showed the clip. And
here it is.
Yeah, here it is right here. And we knew it was coming at some point in the game. Mm. I told them, guys, in big games, they're going to call something like this. And Talon, who's one of our best special teams players, he saw the kicker look right at him. He knew the ball was coming, but in that situation, he didn't react the way that we had taught him.
Was he trying to get out of the way as opposed?
He should have been, and you can see right at the last second, he's trying to get out of the way. But normal onside kick situation, he should go and get that. But in a squib kick situation, when that ball is hit really hard, he's taught to get out of the way right there. And so he should have just got out of the way, and then Bodie Schoonover, who's our up back on that side, should have came up and got the ball. But yeah, an unfortunate thing that they were prepared for it. They knew it was coming. We had practiced it. And props to them. They executed it. And props to the kicker that he was able to hit him. You know, Coach Hill and I were talking about that. He's tried that a couple times in his career. I've tried that a couple times in my career. Never actually been able to hit somebody come close. But just, you know, unfortunate bounce. And, you know, it's a crappy deal. But,
In two straight weeks, you get a Kansas punt on a pooch kick off a helmet. And the next week, you get the squib that hits the guy we're supposed to. Those are two bounces of the ball you might not see if you run 10 seasons with the same plays and you see it back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, and that's just how the season's gone. You know, the ball's bounced our way a lot this season. And then these last 2 weeks, it just hasn't. And, you know, even though that does happen, you know, once again, our defense still has the ball at the 50-yard line. It's not like we're inside the 20. They still have a chance to stop them on a fourth down, right? We have them, I think it's 4th-and-1. Going in for their last touchdown right before the half. And we have somebody misfit. And we run the same exact call. They run the same exact play at the end of the game, and we stop them for a TFL. So it's just like we do our job, and we execute properly. We can stop them, and we should have stopped in that situation. But, you know, that's just not how it was meant to be.
Off that last short field, we saw they did score to make it 21-0. They had a celebration penalty, which meant they kicked off back at their 20-yard line. You got a little better field position. You really thought you might have had a kickoff return touchdown there. That said, you got a little more space to get Will in position to give you some points before the break.
Yeah, they had to, you know, kick the ball off from the 20, and we had a tell on when they were going to do a sky kick, kind of bloop the ball up in the air, and we knew it was coming, and everybody scooted up where they needed to be, and everybody blocked, and just Keelan didn't quite see the seam. If he sees it, there's a chance that thing's going to the house. But yeah, our offense still gets the ball in the 35. They do a great job going down there and setting up Will for a 3-point field goal right there at the end of the half, and 49 yards, and
He's been doing this all year long, late in halves, too.
Yeah, and it's been, you know, and even going back to last season, he did it against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State late in the year. He's clutch, man. I'm just so happy he's on our team. And not just Will and Sam, but Dalton, you know, Riggs, who's snapping the ball, has done a great job. And the protection of the O-line has been great all year. So just that, excuse me, that whole group of guys has been really dialed in all year long, and it's been fun to see the production they've given our team.
12 consecutive field goal makes for Will. That was his 20th of the year. That's one off a BYU record for a single season,
by
the
way. That's awesome.
That's cool. All right. We'll take a look at the second half of this game in a moment. As we head to break, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review. They'll take a look at the ASU game, look ahead to Houston. That's tomorrow at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. When we come back, more and a final segment for this year with special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
And what a play that was at the end. Back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU special teams coordinator and defensive ends coach Kelly Papinga. Looking back at BYU's 28-23 setback at Tempe and ahead to the season ender with Houston this Saturday. Well, BYU trailed 21-3 at halftime on Saturday at ASU, but the tide began to turn at the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. What was the message to the boys at the break?
Just execution, you know, execution and effort. We just, you know, like I mentioned before, we didn't execute well. Simple things that we just didn't do that we've done all year long, and then tackling. I think really what it came down to more than anything was just our run fits and tackling. If we do a better job of that, we knew that we were going to play better, and so that was the message, is like, guys, just get back to doing what we do, and let's tackle this guy, and we're going to be just fine. We didn't feel like the quarterback, and I'm not trying to make him sound like he's not a great player, but we just didn't feel at this time he was going to beat us with his arm all of the time. He wasn't going to be that consistent to be able to do that. I do think he's going to be a very good player, good athlete, has strong arm, but just where he's at right now, we just felt the only way they could beat us was consistently running the ball like they were doing. And so to be able to stop that and put them in more passing situations was going to give us our best chance to come back and win the game.
ASU had the lead, the big lead, and the ball to open the second half, but a big momentum shift because they had the ball for over 7 minutes. They got to a first and goal at the BYU 9, but they end up scoring no points on it. What a great defensive stand near your own goal line to, again, help bring the momentum back to your side.
Yeah, no, it was a great play. We ran a pressure there that, you know, I think confused the quarterback a little bit, and then he made a, you know, had to throw the ball over the top. And then we got, you know, they had a, I think that Miles Hall came blitzing in and they cut him, and so we got a penalty off of that. And it ended up being a good deal. So, yeah, we did a great job. And this, you know, comes back to my point exactly. It doesn't matter where the ball is at. They had the ball inside the 10-yard line. It's our job to step up and make plays, and our guys did this in the situation, and they had four downs. They tried to throw back right here on us, and you know, quarterback throws it overthrows it just a little bit, and then this is the one right here where we brought the pressure, and I think we confused them a little bit of the coverage that we were running. It was a great job to make a stand right there, get the ball back to our offense, and then they go down, and I think three possessions in a row score touchdowns, if I remember right. So
ended up feeling like a bit of a shootout at some point, ASU did have a nice long connection for a score, but then BYU just kept it. It was like back and forth for a bit, and now you're in shootout mode. Five-point game late, you probably feel like you're right where you want to be.
Oh, yeah. You know, and especially, you know, late in that game, I felt really like we started to control the run game in the fourth quarter. Seemed like they started to wear down a little bit, and our guys were starting to just get used to, you know, the way that they were playing, what they were trying to do, and I thought we tackled way better in the fourth quarter. And then we had a shot right there at the end. We saw the play coming in, you know, from the break right there of Glasgow making the play.
Yeah, let's take a look at that again. It was a fourth and one with 2:40 to play.
Yeah.
If they make a first down here, they might be able to kind of, you know, bleed the clock out. What were you expecting? What did you see on this play?
Yeah, we were, you know, the play before we stopped them, which was the same exact run play that they scored on earlier, and we fit it up good. And we knew that they're probably going to try to do something to get the quarterback on the perimeter. Now, if you go back and watch that play, I don't know if the quarterback screwed up or if the
someone
running back
turns
screwed
either.
Up.
Yeah, someone's
and
on the wrong.
So
door.
I don't know if it was designed for the quarterback to do this or not, but we felt like there was going to be something where they're going to try to get him out of the pocket, and you know, we knew knew Glasker could chase this guy down, and Glasker ends up making a great play. Even though Glasker right there was misaligned just a little bit, he was supposed to be up more on the line of scrimmage. He made it a lot harder for him to, you know, himself to make that play. Should have been a lot easier for him, but he, you know, with that guy's speed and his length, was able to chase him down and make the play before the sticks right there.
And that did give BYU the back the ball, an INT on the ensuing possession, does give it back to ASU. They were trying to play the clock game to get to the end, and just a chaotic, weird, strange finish of this one. It ended up giving BYU one final snap. Yeah. I'm not sure if the line of scrimmage was where it should have been. Either way, it was as weird an ending to a game as we've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, and it reminded me a lot of Utah game 2012, where the fans rushed the field on the block kick, and then, you know, whatever, and then we get another shot at kicking a field goal, and you know, I thought, you know, our guys did a great job of attacking them to get them in that position. You know, you could tell early ASU didn't want to score for some reason. I don't know why they didn't decide to elect to score. It would have brought them up two scores with less than a minute to go, but they didn't want to give us the opportunity to get the ball back. And so they, you know, were just trying to take time off the clock. That's why the quarterback was running back there. And so I thought our guys tried really, really hard in that situation to just get them down. And yeah, gave us a shot to have one more play. And, you know, unfortunately, we just didn't get those two more yards that we needed.
Yeah. Your thoughts on the team's resolve, though, this season? It's been there all year, certainly. Yeah. Now you get a chance to prove it one more time, do what you need to do, and hope for a bit of help.
Yeah, you know, early in the season, we won these close games, and the ball was bouncing our way, and we were making the plays that we needed to win, you know, in the Kansas State game and these other games that, you know, were big opponents that we needed to win. So I think our team is I think they're tough. I think they're resilient. I think they have belief in themselves. And just unfortunately, in these last two games, you know, a 4-point loss and a 5-point loss, those are tough losses. And we'd won a lot of those games earlier in the season. And just unfortunately, these last two games, it just didn't go our way. But a lot of that's our own fault of just, you know, coming back to just executing. And us as coaches, I don't want to put it all on the players. As coaches, we got to obviously prepare them better and help them put themselves in better positions so that they can execute and make those plays that we made earlier in the season.
I think mathematically, 8 of the 16 teams have a shot at a piece of the championship this weekend, which is pretty wild to begin with. And the scenarios are pretty simple for BYU, but they depend on you winning a game against Houston and hoping for one of two or both results. You know what those are going to be. You're cheering for two sets of Wildcats this weekend, Arizona and Kansas State.
Yeah, and I think for both of those games, I think Arizona State's going to have a tough time going to Arizona, and I think Kansas State's, you know, in a good position to go to Iowa State and make something happen there. So, you know, unfortunate, we have to rely on somebody else helping us out a little bit. But we, number one job for us is we want to go out there. We want to end this right for the seniors. We want to go home, get a win at home for these guys for the last time in LaBelle Edwards Stadium, get a 10-win season, which is really, really hard to do, which – before the season started, anybody that said that we would have a chance to win 10 games, they would think we're crazy. So to be in that position to win 10 games and have a chance to play for a conference championship, then, I think it's a pretty awesome deal to be in. Now, unfortunately, it could have been better for us, but, you know, this is the situation we're in. And so we're going to attack it, and I think our players are excited. I know they are, they're just anxious to get back on the field and show who we really are.
So win on Saturday against Houston, you get those 10 wins, and you know there will be a chance at an 11th. You already know that.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's, you know, great for our guys that have earned a bowl game. And it'll be, sounds like it's going to be something pretty awesome that, you know, BYU's never done before. If we get into that conference championship game, which, you know, we all hope for, then I know that we're going to play our best football. But most importantly, we got to play our best football this Saturday night.
Coach, it's been a pleasure all season.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
Thank you for the year. We'll do it again.
Appreciate you.
All right, that's awesome. All right, that's Coach Kelly Papinga. This Saturday, tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio starting at 8 Eastern, 6 p.m. Mountain. The Cougs host Houston. Cougs and Cougs in BYU's home and regular season finale. As we go to a break, we remind you that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and now in Harriman. Coming up next, BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill joins me. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's, the Burger Boys. All right, BYU still tied atop the Big 12 at 6-2 in league and 9-2 overall, heading into this weekend's regular season finale against Houston. BYU will be playing in the Big 12 title game if the Cougs beat Houston and get a loss by either Iowa State or Arizona State. This is the Coordinator's Corner. It's our third segment of the show. Switching gears from special teams to defense, joined by defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach, Jay Hill. Coach Hill, good to see you as always.
Yep, great to be with you.
One final time this year. How would you characterize the team's mindset going into this past weekend's game in Tempe?
Well, I thought we were good. You know, I thought we had a wake-up call against Kansas. I thought practices went pretty good. But obviously we came out with a very slow start on both sides of the ball. And so, you know, you always worry about those games bleeding over to the next one when you're winning, and then all of a sudden you lose when you worry about it bleeding over, and it looked like it did.
You had to defend a short field to open the game. Coach Papinga said, hey, whether it's short or long, the defense has one job to do. ASU did do their job on the short field.
Well, they did. Their offense went right down and marched down and scored. And I thought we had many opportunities to get them behind the chains on that drive. Too many missed tackles, too many missed assignments that just doomed us. And they went right down the field and took momentum, got the crowd into it. And it hurt us for what we needed to get established early.
They funnel it to a couple of primary targets. Of course, number 4, Cam Scadaboo at running back, and 0, Tyson, the wide receiver. So much of their offense predicated on those two guys getting going.
Well, they do, and they're great players. We knew that going in. We knew we were going to have to stop those two guys. It was all over our sheets and our goals and everything we had going into the game. Thought we had a pretty good game plan to get it done, and bottom line, you got to give Arizona State a lot of credit. They executed when they needed to.
One of your safeties ended up ending their second drive of the game. Tanner Wall picks up his 3rd interception of the season on drive number 2.
Well, this is a great job. We talked to our defensive line a lot about getting their hands up and tipping balls this week, and obviously John Nelson does a great job of getting his hand here on the ball, and it pops right to Tanner, and a huge play, right? I don't see the block in the back right there, quite frankly, and you know, we lose a bunch of yards on where that ball could have been for the offense.
Right. It was farther up. In fact, by the time the next drive ends, I don't think it was back to that line of scrimmage you would have had if they didn't make that call. ASU did score a TD on the next possession to make it 14-0. Cam Scadaboo scores again. Compare Scadaboo to the other good Big 12 backs you've seen this year.
Well, he's one of the toughest guys in the country, and I heard going into that game he was 2nd in the country in yards after contact, and really the majority of his yards come after contact, and so you got to give him credit. He's a tough kid. He's a great player. He's rushed for over 1,000 yards this year, and you know, he had another big game against us, which hurts because I thought we had a game plan to contain him.
Momentum moment for ASU when they went up 14-0. They did the squib. We broke it down with Coach Papinga pretty well. And that was another short field situation after that you had to defend.
Well, we had a couple short fields, but again, that's something that we thrived on early in the year. We had short fields over and over against SMU in that game, and I thought our defense did a phenomenal job of just stepping up and getting back out of those drives. We did not respond early in this game the way I think we should have.
Yeah, of the 3 ASU touchdowns in the first half, 2 did come on the shorter fields. That's the way it was. Little shot in the arm, though, before the break, the Will Ferrin field goal. So you're 21-3, you're on the board. What were some talking points you wanted your coaches and players to be considering at halftime?
Well, really, the reality was I thought we blitzed in that first half right into the teeth of their runs like 6 or 7 times. And instead of getting tackles for losses or short gains, they were getting yards on us. And it put us in too many 3rd and shorts. And you can't, against a running back like that, you got to stay in 3rd and longer situations. And we talked about that all week, and we did not execute that well in the first half, and we did a much better job of it in the second half.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the second half and close Coach Hill's book on that ASU game and look ahead to Houston. Tomorrow night, join us for our season finale of BYU football with Kalani Sitake. As the coach and a special guest or guests, I think might have some multiple seniors with us tomorrow. We'll take a look back at this past weekend and ahead to the Houston game. You can watch the show tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. Coming up next, a final segment with BYU coach Jay Hill. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's, The Burger Boys, Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. This is our season finale on the show. Just one game to go in the regular season. It's this Saturday, a clash of the Cougars at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, BYU home to Houston. The home team, 9-2 overall, 6-2 in league, and playing for a spot in the Big 12 title game. If some things break BYU's way, it's Houston simply playing for pride at the end of the year. It's our final segment with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. We headed to the break with BYU down 21-3 at ASU. But what a second half rally for BYU. And the first big blow in the comeback was dealt on defense. You held Arizona State out of the end zone after a lengthy drive for them opening half number two.
Yeah, I mean, I was very happy with the players and how they stood up in the red zone and got out of that drive. We need to do a much better job on defense of getting the ball to our offense quicker. And we're letting offenses right now go on sustained drives. We got to get out of things quicker, get the ball back to the offense.
Great stand here. We see a first down and second down. Third is the throwback to the tight end off of his fingertips in the end zone. And then fourth down pressure and a throwaway basically through the end zone.
Yep. And again, there's some opportunities where we have to be a little bit closer in those coverages and maybe got the interception on third down if we just are a little bit tighter and where we should have been.
Momentary setback after BYU scored a touchdown to make it 21-9 because they hit on a 61-yard touchdown strike to widen the league again. It would be their final score of the game, though, to make it give them 28 on the night.
Well, this was a disappointing play in this game, and we've been good at communication in the secondary. This is absolutely a blown coverage, safety in the corner, not on the same page, and we give them up a shot in a really critical, crucial part of the game. So that's disappointing. We've been so good at that this year. To do it in that stage was disappointing.
Again, that was their final score as BYU just kept the heat on offensively. The offense got going and got scoring. It was 28-23 ASU late. You needed to give the O one more shot, and you did that on a fourth down stop with 2:40 to play.
Yeah, I thought the way the offense was moving it, if we could just get out of a drive and get the offense the ball back. The ASU was on their heels. They looked tired, and the offense really did just march right down the field and have an opportunity for the win. But this is another situation where getting out of the drive a little bit quicker and getting the offense maybe two opportunities at the end instead of just the one would have been such a huge deal.
So after the BYU interception on the final full possession, the end of the game was nothing if not chaotic. It was crazy. It was at some points seeming a little bit dangerous for the people who were on the field. A bizarre ending. There's a lot of things to nitpick about how the final moments played out. It was chaos down there.
Well, it was. And unfortunately, I get it's got to be very difficult to stop fans from storming fields because there's just so many of them. They can overwhelm security and stuff, but that's got to be handled in a much better way, and especially the way they handled it, because players and administrators and everybody were in danger down there. Now, I was up in the box coming down, so I didn't see it all, but that does get to be a very dangerous situation for the players and the coaches that are down there.
Ultimately, the Cougars did get one final crack from midfield, and yes, a completion is made, which wasn't, by the way, ruled a completion there for some reason. A couple yards short, you end up falling at 28-23. It's a tough setback, and now it's time to bounce back once again.
Yeah, bounce back. You know, you can't cry over spilled milk. We lost. Give Arizona State a ton of credit. They came out and did what they needed to do to win the game. They put our backs against the wall in the second half, and I thought we responded well, but it was too little too late. And we need to do a much better job of getting off to those fast starts like we did at Baylor, like we did at UCF, and some of those games where we came out of the gates on both sides of the ball, complimenting each other. We have not done that in the last three games.
So you know that it's now not totally in your hands. You've got to win your game, certainly, and then hope for a little bit of help. But neither of the results you need would be considered out of the realm of possibility. And in this Big 12 or week to week, you just don't know. I think you've got yourselves a pretty good shot.
Well, we have a great shot, and we got to handle our own business. And it's been that way for the last 2 weeks. We just got to go in and handle our own business. Don't worry about what all the other stuff that can happen. We got a chance to send the seniors out with 10 wins, and hopefully things fall in our favor. But we need to have pride in just winning this game and sending the seniors out the right way.
Let's take a look at this weekend's game. We'll preview the Houston Cougars now, brought to you by Intermountain Health, the official medical provider for BYU Athletics. UH coming in. They held Baylor to just 20 points, by the way. Baylor had been cooking the last few weeks, and Baylor won it 20-10 against Houston this past weekend. But I think the Houston defense showed something.
Well, Houston's defense has done a good job all year. We've seen them multiple times on crossover film. I think that they do a good job up front with their defense. They have some athletic guys on both sides of the ball. I think they do a good job of running it with their quarterback, and their running backs are athletic. So we got our work cut out for us. I think this is another Big 12 team that the record doesn't necessarily match how they've played. And if you look at the teams they beat some really good teams in this league.
Including K-State.
K-State.
Yeah. So they're 4-7 overall, 3-5 in league, so they'll not play in a bowl game. They've never beaten BYU. Cougs have the 3-0 all-time edge. They do lag in a lot of offensive numbers. They're 133rd in scoring off. Offense, last in red zone offense, so they all vulnerable offensively right now.
Well, they are, and we need to take that as a challenge to us to continue to keep them down. We need to come back with a great game ourselves. I thought we played very good against Kansas, and then we rebounded this week, and I don't think we were as good against Arizona State, and that was disappointing to me. That lies on my shoulders. I take that very hard and at heart. So hopefully we respond the right way defensively and come in and play like I know we can.
I know you would love to get another crack at Arizona State in the Big 12 title game. You'll play anybody in the Big 12 title game, no matter who it is. To get there, you got to take care of your business, and that means Houston.
Yeah, whoever it is, we got to win. We got to beat Houston. Hopefully we get another crack at Arizona State. I'm praying they win. I'm praying the other team doesn't, because I want another crack at that game. Just for what we had dialed up and how I thought the game would go, it didn't. And again, give Arizona State a lot of credit. But now this still truly rests on our shoulders to get it done.
Coach Hill, good luck this week, and thank you for the season of shows with us here.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
All right, thank you, Jay. You can get ready for BYU and Houston this Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded pregame coverage. Begins more than 2 hours prior to kickoff at 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain Time on BYU TV. When we come back, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick joins us as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We are brought to you, as always, by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with Coach A-Rod after this. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner. It's our season finale with BYU's coordinating coaches, all three of them, all three spending some time with us, defense, special teams, and on offense. And we hit the offensive side of the ball with OC and QB coach Aaron Roderick as you get into our final two segments. Coach Roderick, good to see you again.
Good to be here.
All right, we're looking back at a tough loss in Tempe and ahead to Houston, of course. This was another game, the ASU game, where the offense got to start with the ball. We've had it feels like it's had a few more of those recently.
Yeah, we have. I think we've started with the ball most of our games this year, for sure.
The opening drive scores maybe not coming as frequently now as they had been earlier, but you felt good about keeping that initial drive alive. You had a 4th and 5 from the ASU 46, I believe, in the opening moments.
Yeah, the analytics book there says go. Arizona State is a team that tries very hard to keep the ball away from the other team's offense. And so the thought there is that possessions in the game are going to be limited, which they were. And so you try to maximize your possessions. And with no hesitation, we at 4th and 5, Kalani said go, and we went for it. And we just didn't execute the play well enough.
A little pressure on Jake?
A little bit, and we had a route bust too. We had some issues early in the game with some mistakes that really cost us early on, and then we got those worked out at halftime and played better in the second half.
Next possession was a tough luck INT because the ball gets deflected, right, on the second drive?
Yeah, the ball, just really tough deal. Chase ran a great route. He's open. Jake makes the right decision, and their defensive end made a great play to deflect this ball. Football, sometimes the other team makes a great play, and that's what happened right there. You can see Chase is wide open. It's going to be a first down. Mm-hmm. Just really tough break.
7-0 ASU after one. They scored on back-to-back possessions in the second quarter by stealing a possession basically from BYU. Yep. Last week it was a bad bounce on a quick kick pooch punt off a helmet. Then Saturday it was a bad bounce on a squib that functioned kind of like an onside kick. In a game with so few possessions, tough to not get the offense back on the field after they went up 14-0.
Yeah, that was a tough stretch because we were on the sideline for quite a while there. And, you're trying to get into a rhythm. You're trying to establish something. And they did a nice job. You got to give them credit. They got 14 straight points there in stole a possession from us.
But the bounces the last couple of weeks have been crazy.
Yeah, we had a couple tough breaks for sure in the last couple of games, and some of those things were going our way in that 9-game winning streak, and the last 2 weeks they haven't gone our way, and all you can do is just keep competing.
Trailing 21-0, you're knowing ASU would have the ball to start the second half, so you got some kind of shot of the at something late in the first half, and you've done it again. You go tempo, you get downfield, and Will, time and time again, gives you points right before the break.
Yeah, we started out that drive. We really wanted to get a touchdown if we could, but we had to get some kind of points. You got to go into halftime with some type of momentum, and so we were able to get it down there. Close enough for Will to get, make a kick, and we always trust Will to do his job.
And this has been a thing about this team this year is when you need to get into position, it seems like you have a real answer for it.
Yeah, it's the best 2-minute offense I've ever coached. These guys really know how to. It starts really with Jake. Jake's just flourishes in that drill, and then our players execute. We protect. Our receivers are good, and we've been a good 2-minute offense this year.
What were your thoughts down 21-3 at halftime, knowing you had 30 minutes to get back in this?
Well, we were just thinking lots of game left, but we also knew that the possessions would be limited, so we were going to have to maximize our opportunities. And so the first thing was we knew we had to play faster, and the second thing was we knew we had to get touchdowns. And we had to get touchdowns, and we knew ahead of time that there were going to be some two-point tries ahead of us. Because, again, ASU, their whole deal on offense is to just keep the ball away from the other team. They run the ball, they eat clock, they play very slowly, and they're going to try to limit you. And so we just knew we had to go fast.
Every player can speak for himself about this. I think Chase said he felt the team was flat to start the game. Did you get the same sense, or was it really kind of an individual thing?
Yeah, I don't know if it was flat or if it was just a sort of fog of war kind of thing, but I thought there was some really strange play by our team in the first half. Just uncharacteristic mistakes, unforced errors. I thought a lot of things that we did wrong in that first quarter in particular had nothing to do with the opponent. It was just some mental errors by some guys that are usually some of our best players. And then I thought when we got a chance to regroup at halftime, everybody took a deep breath and said, all right, we're still in this. We can come back and win this game. And obviously we competed much better in the second half.
Why does it sometimes require the break for that change to happen?
It's a funny game. I mean, we had our best week of practice we've had all year. I felt like we were ready to play. The guys knew the game plan, and then sometimes you kick off and sometimes you're trying too hard. It just depends on each individual player, but I thought there was definitely some strange unforced errors that I can't really account for, other than once we got a chance to regroup, we really shifted gears in that third quarter.
That happened. Time again for a break. As we step away, we remind you that for your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play, tune in to BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays at noon Eastern Time on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up on our final segment of this week's show and our final segment of this season, much more with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. As the coordinator's corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. You're back in the coordinator's corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. It is our final show segment of this season. BYU 9-2 coming into the 2024 regular season finale, 6-2 in the Big 12. BYU in a four-way tie for the Big 12 lead. For BYU to play in the conference championship game in Arlington, Cougs need a win over Houston at home, combined with either losses by Arizona State or Iowa State this upcoming Saturday. You're aware of the scenarios, obviously, but it takes, it requires you to go get a win first, right?
Yeah, we got to do our part, and the rest, just hope for the rest to take care of itself. And I think, in this league, anything's possible every week. So the most important thing is we have to get ready to play and win our game.
Visiting with Coach Aaron Roderick, looking back at the Arizona State game before looking ahead to Houston, what were the primary adjustments you wanted made from halftime, first half to second half?
Well, the first thing was just to execute better. We had a lot of unforced errors in the first half, just guys going the wrong way, running the wrong route, just some really strange things. And I thought we just had to settle down, have some poise, don't panic, and just, okay, we're still in this game, there's enough game left, but our possessions are gonna be limited. So we knew probably gonna have four chances, maybe five in the second half to make up 17 points. So we've gotta operate quickly. And the guys, I think, really just kind of bonded together and said, all right, let's go do this. And As we know, we came up a little short, but I thought they competed extremely hard in the second half, and I was really proud of them.
Your first TD drive of the game was a thing of beauty. 96 yards, 12 plays, 5:29 off the clock. You're back in the game, drawing to within 21-9 late in the third. Keelan Marion ends up scoring his first of two touchdown runs on the day.
Yeah, that was a great drive. And, you know, I can't remember how much time was left in the third quarter when we finally got the ball, but it was...
You were late in the third.
It was. Yeah. They did a good job using some clock, but then our defense did a great job getting that stop on fourth down.
Right.
The downside of it was we had pretty far to go, and I thought the players showed a lot of character on this drive. We had some critical third down conversions. It was our best third down game of the year. We were 7-for-10.
First best third down game in years.
Yeah. 7-for-10 on third down.
And 3-for-3 second half.
Yeah, and we got three touchdowns in the red zone this game that were good. It was good progress we made in both of those areas. And usually if you go 7-for-10 on third down and 3-for-3 in the red zone, I've never lost a game in my career doing that. So it was just a weird night, or weird day. But that drive was huge. I was really proud of our team for stepping up, and it felt like it gave the whole team life. And it felt like, okay, we're back in this, let's go.
Now, I felt the same way up in the booth. ASU did answer to go up 28-9, but then the Sun Devils would not score again. Your offense, meantime, touchdowns on consecutive possessions. The first of the two scoring drives, a quick one, four plays, 73 yards, 117 is all, and you need to hurry in the second half. Four chunk plays, basically, ending with a JoJo Phillips score.
Yeah, that first drive, we took 5 minutes off the clock, but because we started on our own four, we had to be a little bit cautious with the first few plays. So we used a little more clock than we would have liked to, but you got to be smart when you're on your own 4 yard line. And then once we got, we got the ball out a couple first downs, then we kicked it into 2 minute gear. That next drive, mm-hmm. like you just said, that was full blown 2 minute offense. There was no huddling at all. I think maybe huddled one of those plays when the ball went out of bounds, when the clock stopped. But the rest of the time, we were just going as fast as we could, and it was a nice job by the guys.
And how about the touchdown play?
Yeah, JoJo made up for when he dropped one a couple plays before, and that sometimes that's hard to do. You make a mistake, and then you got to put it behind you and be ready to make the next one. And I was proud of him. And that was a great throw and catch.
Next drive, another score. 9 plays, 88 yards. You've had a lot of long touchdown drives this year. 3:44 off the clock on this one, so kind of in between. Lots of passing, but a Keelan Marion run again gets you into the end zone, I think, on Jet. 28-23 ball game now.
Yeah, another started our 12 and had to get down there. We were going as fast as we could. And then once we got into the red zone, we had to make sure that we were making the right calls to get a touchdown. And it was a good drive. Started with this counter play to
LJ.
Yeah, and then had a nice third down conversion right here to Darius. And I thought the whole drive was really well executed by everyone.
We'll see the tail end here.
Yep.
Puts you in scoring position. Doesn't quite get in, but then it's Keelan on the very next play, right?
Correct, yeah. We run this jet sweep around the edge here, and he scored on two jet sweeps. He's really turning out to be one of our best playmakers and doing a great job.
You had 3 2-point plays on the day, didn't you? Made one of three?
We did, and that is one of the disappointing parts, is to only get one of three. If we get one more of those,
you don't need a touchdown. Yeah.
Then at the end of the game, you're playing for a touchdown, wins it, field goal, ties it. Instead, at the end, we had to have a touchdown to win, and we weren't in field goal range anyway when the interception happened. But I would have liked to have, if we just could have gotten one more of those, it would have been good. And we had Keanu wide open on that 2-point play, and again, their defensive end did a good job getting his hands up and batting the ball down.
So at 28-23, defense gets you the ball back after their outstanding fourth down stop. You did move quickly down the field, but the drive sadly ends on a 2nd and 10 from the ASU 39-yard line. What did you see from the booth? What was Jake looking at?
Well, we had just thrown the ball down the field the play before and just barely missed. And so
this is the last drive. This is earlier
this
in the drive,
but
yes.
So we had a nice job on the out route, and then we had a little sprint out here where Jake goes – low, high, low, back to chase there. And then, we're moving it. We throw a slant here. And then this last play, I mean, we're a couple inches away. The ball just got away from Jake a little bit. If that ball's 2 inches lower, it's hitting Darius in the hands. Running through their defense. It's probably going to be a 15-20 yard gain. And it's a couple inches off. And if it's not complete, if it's lower, it's just an incompletion. But just a couple inches off, their guy made a good reaction to catch it. So it's unfortunate because I thought we had, with this ball, if he catches that, he's running right through the heart of the defense, and there's a good chance he's going to make that safety miss and maybe score. And then I thought
it wasn't the pick six the other way. Jake chases him down.
I want to point out Jake's effort to go make that tackle.
Similar to the Oklahoma game last year.
Making that tackle still gave us a chance at the end of the game. And, disappointed with the interception. I know it hurts him. It hurts all of us. It was a crushing defeat. But to have the character to go make that tackle and give our team a chance, we had one more shot at the end because he didn't just give up. And it says a lot about who he is.
It does. I'm glad you pointed that out as well. Some last-minute chaos, including a fourth. ASU actually snapped a fourth and goal from the BYU 49-yard line. You'll never see a fourth and goal from the 49 again. A field storm. You get one last look at a Hail Mary. Again, the line of scrimmage could have been different than it was. I'm not sure why it was where it was. That said, you get one last look.
Yeah. We have a play for the situation they were in. And we call it launch, and we actually used it against Baylor a few years ago, where you have to drop back, and then you have to sprint outside the pocket, and then you can throw the ball as far, as high and far out of bounds as you want.
But you've got to be outside the tackle box.
You have to be outside the tackle box, and you can burn a maximum of 6 seconds. So I've seen it. We've charted this over the years. We've seen Alabama do it. We've seen lots of teams do it. We've done it before. 6 seconds is the max you can get. They tried to do it with 7 seconds, and he didn't leave the pocket.
Right.
So it should have been grounding.
You're right.
And
now, Kalani said he was told that it was, but there wasn't a flag. There wasn't an announcement of the penalty.
Yeah. I don't know why it wasn't, because that would have put us 15 yards closer, and then I don't know about the end there. I thought we should have been. There were a lot of things there that felt like we should have gotten a few yards closer there.
But of course, every coach will say it should never come down to just one thing.
It shouldn't have. Yeah. We didn't lose the game on that play, and we didn't lose the game just on the interception. There were enough opportunities in that game to win. They made a couple more plays than we did as a team. It's you win as a team, you lose as a team, and credit to them. They found a way to win. And we're just hoping we can go take care of business this week and do what we're supposed to do.
By the way, the final play was judged on the field as an incomplete pass, which was clearly not the case.
Yeah.
And that still has not been changed officially. We expect it to be changed for the stats relative to that. You did highlight an offensive player we want to point out here on an offensive line that got banged up during the game.
Yeah.
Waylon Lapuaho. He has been quietly the every snap left guard all year long has been a stud for you.
Yeah, just been a great leader, very durable. He's played all year, every snap of the season at left guard. And the guy comes to work every day with enthusiasm. And he had an awesome game, played really well. Keelan was another candidate for player of the game. I thought he played very well with his two touchdowns and had a nice third down conversion on another jet sweep run. He's playing really well at receiver as well. But we just thought Waylon has just been outstanding all season, and we wanted to recognize him.
Yeah. If you got banged up on the O-line, we'll see who practices well enough to play for you on Saturday against Houston. In the last minute we have, just a thought on having a shot with a win over Houston to get yourself to Arlington with some things breaking your way, and who says they won't, right? I mean, you just got to hope for the best.
Yeah, Gary mentioned the team the other day. When he played in the Big 12 championship at Baylor, they had two losses, and they had to win on the final week and hope for somebody else to lose, and that's how they got in. And so the only thing we control is how we play against Houston, and that's all we control, so let's go do it. We just got to have a great week and go get ready to play.
All right, Coach, good luck this week with the guys and then on Saturday against Houston. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, and that will do it for Week 12 and for our 2024 season on the Coordinator's Corner. For our great coaches, Kelly Papinga, Jay Hill, and Aaron Roderick, and our entire crew and our producers as well, my name is Greg Rubel. We will see you next year. Go Cougs!